Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know Rocket can. Nice to have you here. What's cracking? Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the show. Got a lot on my mind. Lots to get to. Let me open it up to you. Phone lines are open right now because our first interview is not until 9:40. At 9:40, we talk to an NFL draft prospect, Kyle Pitts. Great player. Unbelievable talent. He joins us at 9:40. The NFL draft, finally. Going to happen on Thursday. Finally. So I'm going to get in a few more draft prospects for you between now and then. In the meantime, you can hit me up. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. Not only can you hit me up, you should hit me up. I've got a slate full of good topics. Really good content. But if you want to get in early. Hit us up. You have your phone number. I would encourage you to hit me up on social media, too, always. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Twitter is still a good thing. It still works. I mean, Twitter still sucks. But it's still a good thing, too. And it's a good thing in the sense that if you hit me up on Twitter, I might read your tweet on the air. If it's a really good tweet, I might retweet it to my 1 million plus followers. Then you start to build your own brand. Then you become a big deal. Then you might even get your own show. Your own show, your own podcast, your own brand. It can all work for you, and I can help it work for you. So follow me on Twitter, tweet at the program, do the same thing with Instagram. At Jim Rome. Second hour is open. Coming up in hour number three, I've got two interviews, starting with an NBA analyst, Steve Jones Jr., top of the third hour. Also in hour number three, I want to reset something we tried to do yesterday. Another NFL draft prospect, another very good one, Terrace Marshall Jr. He did call late yesterday, but we ran out of time. This is how it sets up. All right, starting with the NFL draft. Ever since the 49ers made their move to get that third pick in the draft, the question has been, what are the Niners going to do on Thursday night? I mean, we know they're going to take quarterback. You don't give up what they gave up and then not take a quarterback. So we know that. We just don't know which quarterback. And while you really cannot assume anything at all this time of year, you can assume this. You can assume that they will not be taking Trevor Lawrence because we know he's not going to be there. He'll go first overall to Jacksonville. That much we do know. Almost certainly, we can also assume that they will not be taking Zach Wilson because he will go number two to the Jets. Almost certainly, we can assume that. But then it's anybody's guess who the Niners do take at number three. Now, I don't know who it's going to be. But seeing the guy who's making the call, Kyle Shanahan, listening to him yesterday, and it is going to be his call, I am a little concerned because my man, Son of the Lobster, got dark with it. Really, really dark with it.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
Wait, what? Hey, Coach, I know you and Pops are clairvoyant and bleep. But is there something the two of you know that the rest of us don't know? Because I'm pretty sure that that was just a question about what the team was going to do with Jimmy G. And not about how much longer we all have left on this planet. We're trying to talk to you about your QB1, and you're rambling on about the impermanence of man. We think we're showing up for a pre-draft press conference, and instead, an existential crisis breaks out. Can you run that back for me?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
All of us. I mean, damn, that got dark in a hurry. Hey, yo, Coach, how you feel about that running game this season? If you stare into the abyss stares back at you. Yeah, okay. Hey, Coach, when you look at the possible quarterbacks available to you with that third pick, how do you compare them? I am become death, destroyer of worlds. Yeah, yeah, okay, Kyle. Hey, how about Mac Jones? Mac Jones is the guy, right? Life has no inherent meaning, and therefore, all humans have no purpose. Coach, what do you think about the team picking up the fifth-year option on Mike McGlinchey? To live is to suffer. To survive is to find some meaning in the suffering. Yeah, see, the thing is, Shanahan's not wrong. I mean, there's no guarantee that any of us will be here on Sunday. I mean, it's pretty horrifying, and it's pretty true, and the challenge of being human is recognizing how fragile we all are, but not being paralyzed by that fear, right? I mean, he's right, but I'm pretty sure that when that presser was announced, everybody was expecting a conversation about the team's plans for the third pick, not a discussion of life, death, and man's inhumanity to man. Luckily, we got to some other interesting stuff, like the fact that Shanahan explained why they made that move in the first place.
We decided we needed a starting quarterback, so we traded 2 1s to get a starting quarterback. Hopefully, we end up picking the best one, but I know we're going to get a starting quarterback with that, and that's a smart move to me. And not necessarily a smart move. It's the move that you have to do, and that's how much it costs to do these type of things. Or you just sit there and wait and keep your fingers crossed and hope things work out, and that's something that we didn't want to do this year.
Yeah, either that or we'll all be dead by Sunday. Yeah, actually, Coach, now we're getting somewhere, kind of, sort of, not really. I mean, what do you think when you hear that? What does that tell you? That tells me that despite everything they would have you believe, Jimmy G is not their starting quarterback anymore. I mean, maybe. Maybe he keeps the seat warm for whoever they do draft. But Shanahan pretty much came right out and confirmed he does not think that Jimmy G is their starter, which leads to the natural question about whether they plan to trade Jimmy during the draft, and that leads to the inevitable answer about life and death. So, if you were hoping that that press conference would provide answers about the 49ers' plans with the third pick, aside from the one about the potential end of the world on Sunday, you were begging. Sort of. Because Shanahan, I mean, coy as can be, he did say that when they made that move, and it was a big move, they made that move with a player in mind, and
that one's gotten better since, and so have all the other candidates. Do we know exactly who we want? Maybe, probably, but maybe not. I don't feel like we need to say that.
Hey, look, I mean, why we expect anybody to say anything at all this time of year, I have no idea. And in their defense, there really is no reason for them to tell anybody what they're doing and why. But if you're reading between the lines, it sure seems like Mac Jones, right? Give an example. There was that report from NFL Network that the Niners had eliminated Justin Fields from consideration, and now it's down to Jones and Trey Lance. And then consider Shanahan's known appreciation for pocket passers. Then you have him bringing Drew Brees up out of nowhere when he was asked about the value of mobility now around the league.
I don't care when Drew Brees comes out, whether it's 30 years from now, 30 years ago, or today. Drew's going to be pretty good.
And then there was this line also from Shanahan.
If you would have been excited about one of these guys at 12, then you should be excited at 3.
All right, so I'm trying to make sense of that. If you'd been excited about one of these guys at 12, then you should be excited at 3. That kind of seems like a Jones reference, right? Because there's that suggestion that Niner fans are not fired up about moving up to get Jones when they think they could get Jones at 12, where they were. But while that seemed to be a hint that it's Jones, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just smoke. It could be smoke, generally speaking. If I hear anything consistently this time of year, I assume the opposite is true. Like, if there's information floating around out there, it's because somebody put it out there, and they did it for a reason. So the more I hear that Mac Jones is a lock at number 3, the more I think he might not be. Then again, not to confuse matters even more, then again, picking there's no reason for them to have a smoke screen. We know who the first two picks are going to be, so they'll have their choice of the remaining quarterbacks at number 3, so there is no need for any smoke, right? Then again, who the hell knows? Is he being straight, or is he playing tricks? Or is he playing tricks by being straight? Is it a bluff, or a double bluff, or a triple bluff? Who the hell knows? Man, who knows? This is the only thing I know right now. I love the move. I love a coach and an organization digging in and taking an enormous swing, because that's what that is. They're all in. If they're right, they're geniuses. If they're wrong, it's going to set that franchise back. And it's going to affect careers and possibly legacies. So it's brass as hell. I couldn't respect it any more than I do. I love when a team says, hey, we're really good, but really good is not good enough. I respect that. I respect the hell out of that. Some organizations just want to hang around, sell tickets, move merch, and hope they get lucky. The 49ers are looking to make something happen, and they're looking to make it happen right now. They're not dining out on an NFC Championship trophy they won last year. They're not telling stories about how close they came to winning it all. Kyle Shanahan is staking a hell of a lot on this. He's saying we need to get better, and I'm going to put my name, my rep, my old man's name, the whole lobster legacy on it. I love it. This dude's a competitor. And he's tough as hell. You could see that in his team last year when they kept fighting and battling despite all those injuries. This guy wants to win all the time. You can't say that about everybody in that league. So Shanahan and the Niners are looking to make something happen, and I think it's great. But then again, it might not matter, right? You know, that whole thing about how we might be at the end of the world come Sunday?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
All right, that being said, and the guy's not wrong, right? Normally at this point, I'd read a little reaction, but what I normally do is I run down the rest of the show. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know that I'll be here for the rest of this show. In fact, I don't know that any of us will be here for the rest of this show. Well, I mean, TV-wise, I guarantee I won't be here. Heads up, hour number 3, we're not on TV. I don't know that we'll even be here for the rest of this segment. All right? Like, I know that I've got Kyle Pitts on at the end of the hour. Electric talent, biggest name in the draft that's not a quarterback, and I can't wait to talk to him. But will any of us be here even for the end of this segment? Yeah, I don't know. Shanny can't guarantee you that. The only thing I can guarantee at this point are your bad phone calls, your even worse tweets, and your horrific emails, and Ike Ritz arrogance. That's all I can guarantee. Arrogance. That's about all I can guarantee at this point. It's a depressing riff, Alvin. You can stop that. Way to keep it fresh with Simon and Garfunkel. Way to lower my demo to the mid-90s, Alvin. Stay strong. How about Shanny showing up and going with my roster on Sunday? Man, I don't even know if any of us are going to be alive come Sunday. Check out that lobster, or son of.
So that goes for all of us.
I love these guys. I love that move. I love that trade. Man, that is just a brass, balls-out swing to get the third pick and the third quarterback. You know what that tells me? Shanny's in effect saying, you know what? I don't need Trevor Lawrence to win a Super Bowl. I don't need Zach Wilson. In fact, I'll take whoever's on the board at that point, and I'll still win. Jimmy, I fully understand the Niners' logic here. Sometimes all it takes is 1-3 to turn it all around. Thanks, Mark Grace. See, it's funny you say that, Chris. I mean, not funny like you're funny because you're not. But the notion of slump busting is going to come up later in the program. And not in that context. Not in the context that you referenced. But the notion of slump busting is one of my topics today. Chris in Milwaukee wore Tom Jim Sula coaching Kyle Shanahan on his press conference speaking.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either. I would not say that. I would not say that. I would not say that.
We had a little fun in that open, but Shanahan's genius now.
I would not say that.
Shanahan is a genius, an offensive genius. And my man's got a brass set. I'm fascinated by it. I just don't know that I needed him to drop in that thing about how, yeah, I don't know that any of us will be here on Sunday. And you know why I didn't need that? Because the guy's right. That's the problem. He's right. Rome Slice. Pitts? Never heard of him. Regards, Portland Woman's Razor.
Well, you know what? We got this phenomenon up here in Oregon, and I call it Portland Woman. Portland Woman, she doesn't shave, she doesn't clean up. They put her on TV. Turn on any Portland channel with local show, you'll find Portland woman showing off her stuff, gray hair, no makeup, all the wrinkles to boot, and the clothing is something else. You can see the stain. So, anyways, to Portland woman, please, please, do us all a favor and clean it up. That's all I got, Romy.
Let's have this amazing thought. Well, amazing thought to me. Like, I want to give that guy a golden ticket retroactively for a call he made in 2014. And then I thought, why stop there? Why don't I take all the amazing classic calls? And they've got to be like five-star calls. It has to be a call like that. Why don't I give all of those guys golden tickets and see how they show up years after the fact? Like Brandon in Portland. I'm not saying I'm doing this. I'm just saying it kind of came to me as it happened. I really want to give that guy a golden ticket retroactively for a call he made in 2014. It might be the worst idea ever. Or maybe we have like a play-in tournament of retroactive golden tickets. I don't know, but doesn't that guy deserve something? Because that call holds up. Hey, Rome, you won't catch me watching the draft this week. I mean, who was the evil bastard that decided teams only pick one player at a time and all those other dudes get their feelings hurt? It makes me sick. Signed, Brad, the cycling dork from yesterday. Casey in New Hampshire, that apparently jumped today. Brad, the cycling degenerate, made the point that, hey, Rome, with all due respect, you know, hearing you talk about Chris Weidman, man, that's just not for me. I can't do that. That's barbaric. MMA is barbaric. And then he went on this whole thing, and it did not go well for him. I'm not even saying the guy's wrong, and I love the UFC. I love MMA. But I also understand it is not for everybody. And if you want to say that it's barbaric, I'm going to say pretty much, just like boxing is barbaric. You take two combatants, and you put them in a squared-off circle or cage, and then they're in a cage, right? And what's their intent? To knock the other senseless. Kind of barbaric. But they're gladiators. They know what they signed up for. We pay for it. We love it. They get paid. It is what it is. I mean, I hate that cliche, but it really is what it is. It's just not for everybody. This guy made the point that it's not for him, and you all went rushing in. Part of the problem was, if he had signed it, Brad in the Pacific Northwest or 360, if he had just signed it, Brad, he might have taken some. But he signed it, Brad, the cycling degenerate. And then it was on. And then he came back. He clapped back with something along the lines of, hey, yo, you don't live that far from me. Why don't you come on down here and let's go for a ride? And that made it worse. Not, hey, man, I'll see you in Temecula. Not, how about you get a sense of these hands? No, it's like, you don't live that far from here. So what do you say you come on down here and we go for a ride? Right, in addition to all that, my man Baker Mayfield. Not only in the news, but for all the right reasons. Baker talking UFOs. Can't wait to get to that. Remember when Paul Pierce was hinting at another gig? Apparently Paul Pierce got another gig. Not what you thought it would be, but he did. I'll have that story for you too. A story about slump busting. A story about the Phoenix Suns with a significant win over the New York Knicks. Yes, I said it. I never thought that I would. I'll tell you a guy who's coming fast, fast. MPJ, Michael Porter Jr. He is playing lights out, and I want to give him credit too. So the show is setting up like this. Kyle Pitts, 9:40. So about 20 minutes from right now. Steve Jones Jr., top of hour three. Terrace Marshall Jr., also in hour number three. Make a telephone call, man. Make it count. Make it work. 1-800-636-8686. So, I got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? There is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender, it's never tough, because they only use the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. and Old Trapper Jerky comes in four mouthwatering flavors. You've got Old Fashioned, you have Teriyaki, you have Peppered, and there's Hot and Spicy. All chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings and to provide real sustained energy. Old Trapper simply is a better way to snack. Make it part of your weekly grocery list. Keep a good supply on hand. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Oh, yeah, check this out. I'm going to read this as it's written. Patty and Modesto will be in the infield. George in Tampa is going to bring the carrot. It's a big race week, clones. Get on over to americasbestracing.net. There is no better day in America to make a bet. Check out the ultimate cheat sheet at americasbestracing.net. Bet small, win big. americasbestracing.net. Como se dice, racas. It's incredible. I don't know who's firing off that billboard, but it is some old school jungle guy with America's Best Racing. It is race week, derby week. Speaking of which, my guy Eddie Olczyk is going to be my guest on the Jim Rome podcast on Wednesday. So we're talking pucks and ponies with Edzo. You do not want to miss that. 1-800-636-8686. I said I was looking for calls. Not just calls, but good calls. This guy's got a nearly flawless, perfect record in the jungle. The closest thing to a guaranteed rack. He's already got a golden ticket. I haven't made it official yet when the Smackoff's going to be, but it will be. And this guy will be a part of it. Let's go to Southfield. Jeff in Southfield. What's going on, Jeff?
Thank you for the vine, Jim. Jim, Paul tweeted that his golden ticket-holding dog's name is Bo Jackson. Apparently, Jim, he's a two-sport dog. In addition to being a phenom in the sport of competitive eating, Bo is also a professional wrestler of couch cushions and laundry piles and legs. Hey, dog, Bo Jackson. Real Bo Jackson isn't proud of how you're representing his name. He doesn't like that you keep getting bitch slapped by that fat-ass Garfield, or that you keep getting punked by elaborately manicured poodles. Hey, dog, Bo Jackson, and you get bullied out of your lunch money by the Taco Bell dog. Every day he says to you, yo quiero tu dinero, and you hand it over like a coward. Hey, Paul's dog, you need to grow a pair. Oh, wait, you had a pair, but they got, yeah. Well, you enjoy that. Speaking of dudes who have been snipped, Mark in Boston tweeted that after talking to many publishers, he finally has a book deal. It's true. The Guinness Book of World Records will be listing Mark's Jim Harbaugh tattoo as the lamest, stupidest, suckiest thing ever. Ever! Congratulations, Mark. The previous holder of that record is Stevie Carbone's job. Hey, Carbone, if it's true that you watch and write about The Bachelorette for a living, then it's true that you're a brain-dead idiot and a gossipy woman for a living. Way to go, champ. Hey, Steve, if your scandal with Demi Burnett ends up costing you your job, remember this. The job you're losing is the least important job in the history of everything. No job is more worthless. You can only go up from here, Steve. But Steve, I do respect that you apologize, so let me do the same. Steve, I'm sorry for that time I called you and told you about my fantasy where you actually made a smack-off call that didn't suck. I realize now that that fantasy will never come true and that it was inappropriate for me to express that to you. Hey, Carbone, the only good thing you've ever done with your life is to answer the question, whatever happened to Jamone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High? The answer, he became you. Seriously, clones, look at their photos. Hey, Jim, I found out where Adam Hawk got his fake last name from. Turns out it's a contraction of the word Hallmark, which explains why he often sounds like he's reading some stiff Hallmark card. I am producing this radio show, and I am very grateful to be doing that. As for Rit, turns out the name Garrett is the short version of the name Jarrettall. Wake up, old man! Jim, the saddest thing about this pandemic is that Rit and his friends can't play bingo. Hallmark and Jarrettall. Sounds like the kind of softwood rock that Rick and Buffalo would like. Actually, if Rick sang for a pop band, it would sound like this. Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak. All right, enough of that. Before I go, Jim, on a serious note, new details have come out on the death of jungle legend Trapper and Dana Point. According to his autopsy, Trapper had trans-like ghost tattooed on his lower back. No, but in all seriousness, hey, Trapper, rest in peace. And what I mean by that is, stay in your coffin and shut up. That'll wrap it. What the smell of Smacker of Spring?
Holy crap, Jeff. I mean, holy crap, Jeff. Weird does not begin to do this cat justice. Dude, was that run at Trapper at the very end really necessary? And don't call back and say, quote, super necessary. I mean, was that really necessary? I'm all for you pushing the line or limit or getting up on that line, stomping all over that line, looking over that line, jumping over that line, coming back over that line. But was that really necessary, dude? The rest of it I'm fine with. Although I'm a big Stevie Carbone guy. Dude, my man. Man, there's nobody like that guy. Weird is good, but weird no longer does that cat justice. I mean, that call. Dude, that call. I would say to you that I've never heard a call quite like that call before, but that wouldn't be true. Most of his calls are pretty much like that call, but even for him, that was next level. Carlin Prescott tweets, what a schizophrenic call from Jeff. Quote, Rome, I can't even. Professional wrestler of couch cushions, laundry piles and legs, sobbing with laughter. Run him so I don't break a rib. Mike in Ferndale, what a doutan smack. Holy crap. Jeff V. the dog is the greatest jungle beef ever. Eric near the Canadian Falls. Actually, the Bo Jackson dog. Jaime, I don't think Jeff in Southfield is dangerous. Just very, very disturbed. Stephen S.A. Hey, by the way, the guy's not like that, right? He's not really like that, right? Or maybe he is. Or maybe he is. Gerald tweets, Jeff in Southfield, making my hometown proud again. Man, I'll say it. You know me, I don't play favorites. I love that guy. He is so weird. That dude is so weird. And weird does not even do it justice anymore. As far as I'm concerned, that guy goes right to the front of the line. See you the day of the smack-off, Jeffrey. Jeff in Southfield, man. There is nobody like him. That he is one of one. And I mean that in the weirdest way. Oh, rack him, Alvin. Let me just take care of that formality. Rack him. I think that's like 15 in a row. Bill Ratka is in. Hey, Rome. Every time Jeff in Southfield calls, I am utterly captivated. I want to hear more. Hashtag let's get weird. I agree. Every time that guy calls, I'm disappointed when the call ends. When we return, stay in your coffin and shut up. You said that to a deceased member of this family. An all-time jungle legend. Stay in your coffin and shut up. I don't think my man was making any noise. Dude, you went there? You told Trapper, a legend on this show, to quote, stay in his coffin and shut out. Shut up. Bro, I don't think he was trying to get out. Nor do I think he was making noise. I think he was resting in peace. Until that phone call, Jeff. Damn, Jeff. Kyle Pitts, when we come back, right now.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Now I can sit here and say that Jeff at Southfield is one of the more polarizing guys in the jungle, but again, that does not do it justice. Like, polarizing are any of the top guys. Rick in Buffalo, polarizing. BIC, polarizing. Left, polarizing. Like, guys you either you love or you hate. To say that Jeff is polarizing is not giving him his due justice. I mean, dude is, he's different. He's weird. There is nobody like him at all. I mean, again, I would argue there's nobody like Brad, there's nobody like Lef, and there's nobody like Rick. This is what makes these guys great. But I'm saying there is really nobody like that guy. Cal in Vegas tweets, "We are all collectively dumber after listening to that phone call. Thanks, Jeff." Yeah, I don't know, Cal. Like, I like you, Cal, but I don't think you're the one who should be tweeting that. Cal just tweeted, "We're all collectively dumber after somebody else's call." Romy, "I think Jeff and Southfield made perfect sense. Regards, crackheads rambling incoherently at a bus stop." Ashley in Nebraska.
"War lady clones."
That wooden laconic. "Unwar, dancing on the grave of a jungle legend." Listen, it was out of line, but very clearly he's getting the reaction he was looking for. He did it for shock value. And it worked, because many of you are reacting to it. I mean, the guy does weird things. And certainly was unexpected. But I think we know why he did it. He did it to get a rise out of you. He did it to get a reaction.
"Hey, Trapper, rest in peace. And what I mean by that is, stay in your coffin and shut up."
More on that in a moment. As promised, we are joined right now by a former University of Florida tight end, an All-American, a John Mackey Award winner, two-time first-team All-SEC-er, 43 receptions, 770 yards, 12 touchdowns in just 8 games last year. He appears courtesy of Old Spice and their partnership with Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America. Kyle Pitts is my guest. Kyle, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good. Listen, so we're about 48 hours away from the start of the draft, and you hearing your name called. I'm curious, what has the draft evaluation process been like for you, and how are you approaching the next 2 days? Like, are you enjoying this process, or if you could hit that speed button, would you fast forward to the night right now?
I definitely am enjoying the process. It's something new, so I wouldn't hit that speed button. I never get bored with the process. I know it's a lot that comes with it, and I know I've been working for this and want to experience it all. So just taking it all in, soaking it all in, meeting new people, doing different things that, you know, I didn't get the chance to do at college. So that's something that's pretty fun, and I'm pretty excited for the next 48 hours.
I like that. I like that response a lot. Kyle Pitts joining us. So take me back. The story goes that when you heard about the 49ers moving up to get that number 3 pick, you texted your tight ends coach Tim Brewster and you asked, quote, "Is it a QB or is it me?" End of quote. I also like that a lot. What made you think that maybe it might be them making a move to get you?
That was in the beginning, before I feel like the quarterback talk started to increase. But and I was just getting information, maybe thinking that they were interested, or, you know, I was having meetings with them. But that was before, like I said, before the quarterback hype came. So that train left. I don't really think they're going to pick me anymore.
Cal Pitts joining us. Hey, by the way, this time of year, you never know, right? You never know. When you hear information, you never know exactly what to believe. This much is certain, though. The expectation is you're going to be the first non-quarterback selected in the draft. But if you were to take a step back from that, do you believe that you're the best player in the draft, regardless of position?
Yes, I do think I'm the best player in the draft. Regardless of position, I think I think I'm the best non-quarterback in the draft. But, you know, it's a lot of work to be proven, so that's the only way that's going to be shown is through my gameplay.
We were talking to Kyle Pitts, getting ready for the upcoming draft. It finally gets underway on Thursday. You know, if you go to the right spot with coaches who know how to maximize your talents, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I'm sure you don't either, but, like, what is your upside? Like, how good do you think you can be? The Hall of Fame, for instance. I mean, it's an absurd thing for me to say to a guy who hasn't been drafted yet, but is that something that's on your radar, maybe in the back of your mind? Are we talking about, are you thinking all-time great?
I'm definitely thinking all-time great, but, you know, it's still things to work on, still work to put in order for me to be the best. So I think the ceiling's still pretty high, and I think that I have a lot of things that I can improve on in order to make me the best. So, but I would say the upside is just, my mental side of the game. I feel like I do a great job in studying film in order to, you know, watch my opponent and see how I can defeat them every play.
All right, so to that point, Kyle, for instance, the term unicorns come up quite a bit to describe you. I'm curious about your reaction. Like, do you think that's a good thing, or do you think maybe it's a way to kind of undersell what you're talking to me about right now, the amount of work you put in on the practice field, the amount of time you put in the weight room, the amount of time you put in the film room? In other words, do you like that term unicorn, or do you think maybe it undersells you?
I definitely love the term unicorn, because you can't find unicorns. We're just walking around in the forest.
There you go.
But they're kind of unique, and I feel like what I bring to the table is pretty unique, and I think that kind of helps me, you know, beat certain things and do certain things.
Kyle Pitts joining us. You mentioned the competition. Like, you've gone up against some of the best DBs in all of college football. You've beaten all of them. Who were the guys that gave you the biggest challenges?
I would say probably J.C. Horn or Pat Surtain. Those are the two best corners in the draft, and Tyson Campbell. All those guys gave, you know, great matchups throughout the game, and every time I got to go against them, it was. You know, they made sure I was working, and it wasn't an easy matchup.
Talking to Kyle Pitts for a few more moments. Now, when I say teams are fired up about you, there's also the Dallas Cowboys and owner Jerry Jones saying, quote, "I'm excited to have you come into this league, and, man, what a pair we could do with old Dak Prescott and some of these guys that we've got out there with options to get you the ball so we can dream of visions of sugar plums around here." Got to ask, Kyle, like, what's it like to hear a team owner saying that he's got visions of sugar plums when he thinks about you in the offense? Does that feel pretty cool, or does that feel a little weird?
That definitely is a little cool, because someone like, you know, Mr. Jones, he's a highly touted GM, and the Cowboys is a great organization, and, you know, with that, with him saying that, it kind of made me laugh, I feel like, because he's someone that, you know, speaks his mind. They're really heavily offensive oriented. So, you know, to get a chance to, if I do get a chance to play for the Cowboys, that would be something special.
My man, I think that if I were you and I had that opportunity to put that star on the side of the helmet and to play for an iconic owner in a franchise like that, I would think it is pretty cool to hear something like that. But since I'm just a dope behind a mic, man, I think that sounds weird. But I mean that respectfully, you know.
I got
talking to Kyle Pitts, but if I were you, I would think that's awesome. There's a lot of upside there. You know what's kind of funny? When you were involved in the draft process, you were called the best tight end prospect in a generation. But if we go back to high school, you played quarterback, and at one point you told The Athletic, quote, "I sucked at quarterback." It's kind of a funny line. I mean, dude, you might not have been as good a quarterback as a tight end, but you didn't really suck at quarterback, right?
I'm just going to say I feel like I knew I didn't have a future in it, so I was just, at that point, like, I feel like I was just throwing my arm out every day. I just didn't have the mechanics that it needed to be, but I wouldn't say I totally sucked, but I just got the job done, put it like that.
Cal Pitts joining us. So you're working with Old Spice and Big Brother, Big Sisters of America. Lay it out for me. What is that all about?
I'm a proud partner to be with Old Spice and helping guys with the confidence to reach their full potential. You know, at the NFL draft, Old Spice will be partnering with the Big Brother and Big Sister, you know, to put spotlight on the mentorship. And to read more on it, you can visit Big Draft 21 to learn more about it. And, you know, like myself, I had a mentor, so there were times where I didn't want to speak to my parents about certain things, or speak to certain friends about it, but I had a mentor, Greg Garrett, and he was someone that I could call that was like a third party, you know, to help me cope with things that I didn't, like I said, talk to my parents about being away from home, financial literacy, a lot of different things. So being able to have a mentor and speak up about your problems, that's something I advise, you know, all young guys and young gals to do.
That is really important. That is good to hear, too. He appeared courtesy of Old Spice and their partnership with Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America, a former University of Florida tight end. He was an All-American, a John Mackey Award winner, two-time first-team All-SECer, and he is one of the first names off the board come Thursday. Kyle, really good to have you on the show. Thanks for the conversation, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Kyle Pitts, super player. Super player. High character. And I'm looking forward to that. 1-800-636-8686. Like, what if, as I mentioned, and I mention this every year at this time, what can you really believe? If there's information out there and you're hearing it over and over again, it's because somebody wants that information out there. What if the Niners were just playing with the entire world? What if this Jimmy G stuff really is a smokescreen? What if they really did take Pitts? You imagine what Kyle Shanahan could create and run on a Sunday with Kyle Pitts and George freaking Kittle on the field together. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I'm not saying that I think it's going to happen. I'm just going to say it's not an impossibility. What if Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are messing with the entire world? What if Jimmy G really is the guy? You know, all that talk about availability is your best ability. He's only there 50% of the time. I can't guarantee anything. We might all be dead Sunday. Yeah, well, what if he is their guy? Can you imagine what Kyle Shanahan could do with those two tight ends? There's your first hour. When we come back, more reaction to Jeff and Southfield and a whole lot more show, including Baker Mayfield essentially saying, I told you so. Stay tuned.